Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. According to what I've just been told, here's the podcast for the Early Morning Late Show. Enjoy our conversations. Good morning. It's 4 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. Let's start with the Word of God. Isaiah 58:11 says, "Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail." That's Isaiah 58:11. I also like Psalm 103:5 that says, "Who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." What a great way to start the day. I hope you've had a good week. Thank you for joining me this week. Bill Arnold here, and also have Rebecca Maxwell on the board, Paul Perreault in the newsroom. We are always grateful that you tune into the show and tell your friends about it. If you have friends that you want to tell about, because we should be spreading the word every day. We should be looking for ways to share our faith. The Chris Coons, the Democratic senator from Delaware, he was saying that Democrats should be more open about their faith. He's concerned that more and more Democrats are embarrassed or uncomfortable with talking about their faith and how it's connected to their service. He said many of the most progressive members of the Senate got into public service because of their faith experience as children, but they're afraid to talk about it. So I know one person who's not afraid to talk about it, and that is Carmen LaBurge. And the word of the day is elucidate. Elucidate, that's the word of the day. And that's to make lucid, especially by explanation or analysis. Nobody does that better than Carmen. And the not a word of the day is conversate. That is not a word. Rebecca, you want to jump in on that and make your comment on conversate?
This is why I don't talk. Just off the air, kind of an inside joke, folks, but just off the air, we were talking about those little words that just kind of drive you personally a little bit wacky. And for me, the phrase is conversate, because it's not a word. It's not. There's converse and there's conversation, but conversate is kind of like a made up combination of the two, and just for some reason that rings a bell in my head, and I don't know why.
Okay, how about the word elucidate? Doesn't that pretty much describe Carmen perfectly?
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to her elucidation.
Yeah, that's what she does so well. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to her joining our conversation in just a minute. Here's another quick quote by a weightlifter from Poland named Jerzy Gregorek. He said, "Hard choices, easy life. Easy choices, hard life." I like that. Let's take a break and then bring Carmen on. It's 7 minutes after the hour. Happy Friday. Be back in a minute. Morning, it's 8 minutes after the hour. Carmen LaBurge is the host of Connecting Faith here at Faith Radio. And, of course, that airs at noon Central Standard Time. Good morning, Carmen.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm good. Week one under your belt. How are you feeling?
Well, it's just wonderful to be a part of the Faith Radio family, and we're having a good time on Connecting Faith. And we started taking calls yesterday, and so let me just encourage folks that if you're listening to Connecting Faith at the noon hour, we welcome your phone calls. So far, Bill, people are afraid to talk to me in person, so they're leaving anonymous questions.
Okay.
So there you go. But okay, fun. We're having a good time.
Now, when you go on the air, and this is one thing that I sort of pray for every day, I pray for what I say is close to what people hear, because that isn't always the case. And you can say something and then you can get a letter from somebody and you go, "Well, I really didn't say that," but you don't know how people are going to hear things, right?
Well, that's exactly right. So now you're talking about, you know, that whole communication cycle. Communication, certainly on the radio, is designed to be conversational. We aren't just trying to put information out there. It's not a straightforward news report. We are looking for not only listener feedback, which would be like, you know, just the return of, hey, I'm hearing what you're saying, but we're actually looking for engagement, right? We're actually looking to develop relationships, build conversations, and build the community of Christ in terms of our individual and corporate ability to impact the culture in which we live. And so every single day, I know this is your heart as well. We're not just on the air seeking to push information or ideas out. We're actually seeking to engage our listeners in an ongoing developing conversation. We want to know what people need, what they're struggling with, what questions they have, that we might be able to bring the gospel to bear in those situations and actually equip them to be effective agents of grace in the real warp and woof of everyday life.
Yeah, and I consider myself extremely teachable. I'm a solid C student, so I learn a lot from our listeners because they will respond to something and they'll actually clarify something that I said, and I'll go, oh, that's really smart. I'm really glad you wrote that and let me know that, because that's very helpful for me.
Sometimes we just hear things, right? That we just hear things differently. Like you used the word elucidate. Like that's going to be the word of the day. I guarantee you some people out there heard the word hallucinate.
Oh.
And elucidate and hallucinate could not be like further apart in terms of what we're trying to actually lead people to do.
Yeah. But the prayer I have every day, and I'm sure you do too, is you want to bring glory to God's name. You want to equip our listeners, encourage them in the faith, and put them in a place to feel encouraged to go out and share their hope with others that they have in Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that.
Okay, good. So we're on the same page there. Welcome to the family. It's so great having you hosting Connecting Faith. That other guy that did it, I'm trying to think of his name. Neil.
Neil Stavem has been
Stavem.
So great.
Yes, thank
so,
you.
Yeah,
it's
so,
early.
Yeah, and so that people aren't like wondering like what's going on. So Neil is moving more into what I would describe as sort of programmatic oversight. So even next week, he's going to actually be producing Connecting Faith. So I'll be sitting at the mic, but he will be sitting there, much like Rebecca is,
right,
is making sure that everything works there for you this morning, which, by the way, I have really bad news for her. Conversate is a real word. It's been in use for more than 200 years. I know. So she's probably going to need therapy later today. But Neil is responsible for all of the programs that go out over the whole Faith Radio network. And as the network grows, I think that part of his job gets bigger and bigger.
It does.
And so,
Neil's
so it's
getting
fun
much
for
busier.
Me to get to do this little part.
Right. Neil's getting much busier, and his presence on air will be almost as much as before, because he will be filling in a lot, I think. So it'll be good. He's not going anywhere. Let all our listeners know. Yeah. All right. Let's look at some censorship. Facebook tried to censor a Christian website that's satire. They took something quite seriously.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of censorship going on out there right now in terms of the Christian worldview. And I think that when we have these conversations with our listeners, one of the things that we're seeking to help people see is, where is the real censorship taking place, and how does that affect my ability to engage in the conversations of the day? What are things I should, be hair on fire mad about?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the things that, it doesn't really rise to the level of persecution, right? I still absolutely have the right to speak my mind in the public square, and I should do that in terms of, at least insofar as I've cultivated the mind of Christ on a matter. Right, people don't need really me to be speaking my mind. They need me to be speaking the mind of Christ, because that's what people need. And so when Facebook or Twitter or really any other social media platform censors something, one of the things we have to remember is they own that platform. And so they really only have to give that platform to whoever they have decided advances their particular mission. Mm-hmm. And so I do want people to recognize that when we use free social media platforms, and both Facebook and Twitter are, you know, are provided as free services to those who get on there, everything you put on there then becomes their property, everything.
Wow.
And everything is really up to their filters in terms of what they allow to proceed through to others. So it's their platform. They own the content once you post it, and they are completely within their legal rights to determine what gets distributed over their, you know, the essentially their airways. And so in the same way that, you know, there's stuff that Faith Radio wouldn't put on the air, absolutely. There's, you know, there are ideas, ideologies, voices that Faith Radio would not want to be promoting in the world because Faith Radio has a specific mission. Well, Facebook and Twitter have specific missions as well. And so I just, and YouTube, we should throw YouTube in this mix because you're going to see those social media platforms become, I believe, more and more restrictive in terms of people who are coming at things from a particularly biblical, Christian, or gospel worldview. Those of us who see everything through the lens of the gospel, we see everything as, you know, as a part of the creation, fall, cross, redemption, you know, eventual Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead narrative. That as that narrative becomes less and less popular in the culture, we will be censored, certainly on free platforms like Facebook.
Yeah. Carmen, it says factcheck.org, PolitiFact, and Snopes all have reputations for being biased in favor of liberals. So it's no wonder that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, who is a liberal himself, is relying on these organizations to be arbiters of truth in the Facebook universe. I wonder if the average person has that understanding that some of these are left-leaning organizations, Fact Check, PolitiFact, and Snopes. I didn't know that.
Well, so you can just think about who's engaged in, I mean, there are people behind every fact check, or there are people behind every Snopes investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we think about simply who is moving through, even at the educational level, so who is moving through media studies, who is moving through journalism schools, and then who is rising in those particular industries. And so I do think that, you know, we ought to be encouraging young people who are interested in words, who are interested in the truth, who are interested in journalism. We ought to be encouraging them to move into these fields. Now, we have to equip them to function in an environment that is overwhelmingly liberal, and sometimes very hostile to the Christian worldview.
Mm-hmm. Carmen, let me take a break. When we come back, more with Carmen LeBurge. It is 18 minutes after the hour. Be back in a minute. Good morning. The big hand is on the 20. I'm speaking to Carmen LeBurge, host of Connecting Faith. And Carmen, there was Chris Coons, I mentioned this earlier in the broadcast, that said that Democrats should be more open about their faith. You know, he's concerned that there are more and more Democrats are embarrassed or uncomfortable with talking about their faith and how it's connected to their service. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, we need to be, this is a pray the news opportunity, I think. People need to be praying for folks who are in political office like Chris Coons. We absolutely need to be upholding them in our prayers because they live in a hostile, a really, really hostile environment. And he's probably now opened himself up to some criticism from his left flank. And so, we certainly want to be praying for him. This is not new information that that folks who have increasingly, over at least the last generation, aligned themselves with the ideology of the Democratic Party have increasingly also been folks who have moved away from what we would call a biblical, a Christian, or a gospel worldview. The presenting issue related to this is abortion. And because the Democrat Party has become the party of abortion, It maybe is no like great shocking surprise that that makes Christians uncomfortable. And so people are, it'd be difficult for you to express your faith and to express yourself as a person who is guided by biblical principles if you have to take a party line vote over and over and over again, supporting something that you know is clearly contrary to the will of God. Mm-hmm. And so so I think that's a part of it. I think that in order to toe the party line, if you are a Democrat and you want to be elected today, in order to toe the party line on abortion, you really can't openly express your faith, because then you're going to be called a hypocrite. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, that just is going to be, you know, open. So here's an interesting caveat into all of this. Nancy Pelosi talks about her faith a lot. She also advocates very openly for abortion. Just last night, she appeared on a program that glorifies the drag queen culture. Mm-hmm. She thinks that people ought to be more like drag queens. We ought to be learning from them. And so I think there's so much confusion when it comes to, well, what does it mean to be a Christian? If a person like Nancy Pelosi can stand up and say, she talks about the church frequently. She talks about reading her Bible frequently. That's mm-hmm. confusing. I mean, I'll just admit to you, that's confusing. And so when Chris Coons is encouraging his colleagues to let their faith be more evident in the conversations of the day, what faith are we talking about? Mm-hmm. And if we're going to be talking about a biblical, specifically gospel worldview, then we're going to have to get on the front side of defining what those terms mean. Mm-hmm. Keith Ellison is a good example of a person who's a Democrat who's honest about his faith. Well, his mm-hmm. faith is not Christian. And so when we're going to use language like this, like I want my colleagues to be out there and I want them to be leading with their faith and I want them to be, acknowledging how faith brought them to where they are in terms of their public service. You know, I applaud that. I am a fan of that. But now we're going to have real conversations about the definition of terms and what we mean when we say the faith.
Yeah. I remember in 2010, Nancy Pelosi was being interviewed and somebody said, what is your favorite word? And she said, well, my favorite word is the word. And you know what I mean by that? It's the scriptures. And I thought, well, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. She is an interesting, she's a very interesting person and personality. And I think having an extended conversation with her about what does that mean? And how is it that you're handling the word of God? If the mm-hmm. word is the most important word to you, then how are you handling that? And can it just mean anything? And can I simply mark out those lines or those stories or those principles that I don't like or that don't align with what my political party or my, or the people who are contributing to my campaign, you know, if what God has to say doesn't align with what those people want, to whose will do I bend? And that is really, I think, the challenge for many, many people in public service today. They feel that they have to bend to either their party or to their contributors, because every 2 years, at least if you're in the House, you have to run a campaign and get reelected. And I would say those polls are moving further to the right and left because of the process that we're in terms of people being primaried on the extremes.
Yeah, Carmen, can you even have normal conversation with people in public service? I mean, if I said my favorite word is salvation, a normal conversation person would say, oh, what does that mean? But Nancy Pelosi says it, and does anybody say, well, what does that mean, just the way you asked that question?
So this is actually most of my conversations, actually, after a person has asked a question or made a statement, the very next thing that I often say is, what did you mean when you used the word? And whatever it was that they used that I know has lots of different definitions in the culture today. And then I am really letting them define the terms of the conversation. And I'm getting their worldview. And I'm allowing them to see that I have really listened to them. I'm trying to hear them. And I'm trying to understand them. I'm not just pitching from my platform.
Carmen, you give me gold every week, and the gold you just handed me is, what did you mean when you used that word? I love that. That's going in, going into my head forever, starting today.
Great. great. So, you know, you can, during the next break, you can assure Rebecca that I will avoid the word conversate, and I will seek to elucidate things today. And
yeah.
And as we seek to be people who speak with clarity, we need to be prepared to define the terms we use as well. So
Amen.
I think a lot of times, Bill, we make assumptions that the people with whom we're conversing are operating out of a similar worldview. And let me just tell people, the people sitting next to you in church, they're not even defining terms the same way you are.
That's
and so, even the folks that are sitting with us in the pews and occupying that same space, they're not hearing the word in the same way necessarily that we are. And so
yeah.
We have got to even have conversations within the family of faith about the words we're using.
Carmen, I will have my radio tuned on at noon today. Have a great day.
Fantastic. Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye.
You bet. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break and then be back in a minute. Good morning. If you're just getting up, it is Friday. It's half past the hour. We're going to take a little break for news, and then we're going to speak to Colin Hanson. He recently did a hour-long podcast on ABC News. Well, it was on TV, online. But it's going to have an interesting conversation with him about, you're just going to have to wait and find out. Be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Ted Ross with the Faith in Life Minute. Here's author and speaker Stacey Eldridge with a word on having our identity in Christ.
In the light of God's love, He wants us to know that we are not defined by what we do, the past, the wounds we've inflicted, the ones we've made, our histories. We're not defined by our failures. We are only and ever defined by the love of God and who He says we are in this moment. See, perfection isn't even the goal. Not a one of us is going to get to be perfect this side of heaven. Jesus alone is perfect. And the invitation is to lean into Him for His life to fill us, for Him to actually live His life through us, and to know that we are loved. We are loved regardless, and that's who we are.
Hear more from Stacey Eldridge at myfaithradio.com.
24 minutes until the top of the hour. Dwight Nordstrom is a business and mission leader. He said working in a secular environment can be tense. Here he explains what he calls positive tension in the workplace and how our beliefs influence our actions.
The integration of business and faith is a tension, but it is a positive tension that exists any place where a Christian goes. So whether one's in Minnesota, Wisconsin, wherever, or one's in China. I've set up operations in Argentina and Indonesia, the stans of Central Asia. You're going to face what I call differences, but it's still my number one commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's clearly revealed some principles in the Bible, and now I apply them in my life. And also I've got the Holy Spirit to guide me. And, of course, be part of a local church fellowship, et cetera. Some of the challenges that are more prevalent in China is, frankly, corruption. Mm-hmm. Corruption exists. The list of, I could tell you, people I've known who are chairmen, these would be Westerners, overseas Chinese, who've taken their U.S. company, Motorola, Lucent. I could go on and on. And basically, they got caught up in the cycle of corruption that exists there to get business. And you need to have a zero tolerance for corruption.
I remember that conversation I had with Dwight, and he's a very interesting guy. If you want to go back and hear that full interview, Dwight Nordstrom is his name. Kind of like the store, but not really. Anyway, business as mission. You can also type that into the search engine at myfaithradio.com, and you can hear the full interview. We'll take a short break, and then Colin Hanson will be joining us in just a minute.
The hope of a nation. What'll it take? A lot rides on the answer to that question. This is Jim Garlow. The hope for a nation, including our own, is conformity to God's ways. Many wouldn't agree, and sometimes I wonder if Christians really get it either. Certainly we know we can't live as an individual against God's ways and succeed. We can't operate as a family against God's ways, and certainly not as a church. So what makes us think it's any different for a nation of individuals? What gives us the idea we can be anti-biblical as a nation in so many ways and fundamental policies and somehow be miraculously preserved? The fact is, the biblical way is preservational of all that's good, for your sake and for mine. Bottom line, we as individuals and our nation of individuals must be committed to biblical values. There's more at jimgarlow.com. Live out your faith.
It's 21 minutes till the top of the hour. Colin Hanson is an American journalist and editorial director for the Gospel Coalition. He's best known for his writing on the New Calvinism. And recently he was on ABC television for a whole hour, wondering if he's still willing to talk to us common folk. Good morning, Colin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I'm still willing. Oh, I'm so relieved. I just didn't know if you'd be there or not. I was just praying. You did an outstanding job, by the way. And let's tell our listeners, you were on a show called ABC's Uncomfortable. So tell us about your experience.
It was a fascinating experience. You know, sometimes the Lord delights to turn some good things out of bad things. I think that's we see that consistently throughout his redemptive work, especially on the cross. But a lot of this started, a lot of the different appearances that I've been doing with some national media started with Roy Moore's campaign that was so controversial down here in Alabama, where I live, back in the fall. And so the BBC came over from Great Britain to do some stories on that. I mean, they're fascinated with American politics. So I did some appearances with them. Then the Washington Post came, and then the NPR, and the NPR's like ABC News saw the NPR stuff and the other things, and then invited me to come up to New York and sit down. And I think what I loved about the format was the idea was we're going to jump right in on the most controversial stuff. We're going to talk about religion and politics, and we're going to ask hard questions. It wasn't exactly like a meet the press kind of thing, but it was definitely a, well, you said this and explain what you mean by this, or the interviewer would come back and say, well, I don't understand what you're saying. I mean, what about this? What about this? And yet one of the things I also appreciated, I remember when I did the NPR interview and it was about a half hour phone conversation. And I'm thinking they're not going to use more than 25 seconds of anything that I say. Which 25 seconds are they going to use? but with ABC, it's an hour and it's not going to be edited. I thought, okay, I can work with that. That also means if I say something really stupid, I've got no, you know, there's no safety net there to fall back on. But, you know, let's see how it goes. And I was really happy with how it turned out. I think the Lord's kindness was evident to me in that.
I would agree. Colin, to give our listeners who have not seen this this interview, and it's called Uncomfortable. It's on ABC. You can Google it, and there you'll see Colin. What were some of the questions that you got hit with right off the bat? Obviously, they wanted to get you squirming right from the get-go.
It's true, right from the get-go. I mean, the question's just bottom line. How do you account for the widespread evangelical support for President Trump, especially from white evangelicals? Mm-hmm. And I was coming from the perspective of somebody who did not support President Trump, but I also wanted to represent many of my family and friends and people I've learned the faith from who disagreed with me and did vote for President Trump. And so that was one of the things I wanted to do, was to explain, especially things like religious liberty, that I don't think a lot of people in the mainstream world are talking about much, but a lot of the things that we're seeing with a lot of problems we're seeing all around the country with Christians being told they cannot exercise their faith in public. And so I was actually just meeting with somebody yesterday who talked about the differences the Trump administration has made positively for that. So I wanted to be able to represent that perspective, but then I also wanted to be able to explain why I had disagreed on that and some of how that had played out since then. And ultimately, it wasn't so much the decision to support Trump that I was there to defend or to critique. it was some of the rationalizations that we've heard from different people in their support. And the kind of the bottom line that we came down to was, I pushed really strong to say, it seems like a lot of Christians have fallen into this dominant cultural media sphere where it's all about fear of other people and loathing of them in this political system that pits us against each other on every issue. And I said, but we worship a Savior who calls us and models for us and sends the Spirit to guide us in faith and love. And so that was the main message I wanted to keep pushing back, to say, Christians, we're not these people who are just morally superior in all these things. We are sinners who have been saved by grace. And I think that message is obscured in a way, in ways that Christians are bringing their faith to bear on politics these days. I think the opposite message is communicated, that somehow we are judgmental toward everybody else as if we don't have our own problems. And I think we can admit that we do.
Mm-hmm. Colin, are we starting to burn some of our friendships and relationships because of this fear and loathing you speak of?
Well, I wonder if what I'm so confused by is why we're willing to do that in a social media sphere. I mean, I think it's very damaging. The more time we spend kind of venting online to our virtual friends about a lot of these things and reading a lot of that stuff, and not sitting down with our actual friends across the table. I mean, I can think of different times growing up in South Dakota in a pretty politically diverse environment, not even knowing how my own grandparents, or not even knowing how my neighbors voted. Like, that wasn't the first thing that you would think of about people. These are your neighbors and you're in it together. I mean, even in my church, not necessarily knowing how people voted. And I do think, especially if above all else, we are called as Christians to be able to bring the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ to bear in love for our neighbors, then we simply cannot afford to project this attitude of fear and loathing. It's incredibly damaging to our witness.
Colin, you're doing an awesome job speaking out on behalf of the believers. So let me take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Colin Hansen from the Gospel Coalition. Recently, it was on an hour-long TV show called Uncomfortable, done by ABC. You can Google that and watch it if you like. It is 14 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll be right back with Colin. We are back. It's 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Talking to Colin Hansen from the Gospel Coalition. He recently did an interview on ABC's Uncomfortable. He did a great job, by the way. And Colin, when you got there, did they say, pull up a chair and make yourself uncomfortable?
They might as well have. You know, when the Lord is, I was just thinking about that, because I can't imagine a lot of people, if you say you're going to sit down for an hour and you're going to be grilled about religion and politics, I just can't imagine that that's the way a lot of people are going to be excited to wake up someday. But you know, it's just, whenever the Lord has us in a place where we have a lot of experience and we've spent a lot of time studying and things like that, and there's just kind of an evident blessing there. I think we all have experienced that in different ways, where we're serving according to the way God has equipped us and gifted us. And that was encouraging. I do for my own nervousness sake sometimes, though. I can remember all the way back to, you know, piano contests and things like that where I did this as well. I didn't prepare at all for that. I was like, I'm just going to go in. I'm just going to sit down. Let's just do this. Mm-hmm. You know, the more I prepare, the more paralyzed I get. So maybe people can relate to that as well.
Oh, totally. Totally. So what are you actually most concerned that is happening with Christians, American Christians these days?
Well, the main problem I see is that we spend a lot of time concerned about outside threats to the church. I mentioned earlier the religious liberty threat. That's a real one. I mean, I think that's a legitimate concern, a major one that I have. especially when you see Christian groups continue to be kicked off campuses at places like the University of Iowa or Harvard recently, Wayne State. I mean, you just keep seeing it again and again and again. Those are real concerns. But you know, what strikes me is that as we spend so much time with a belief that we need to shape the government to be able to protect the church on the outside, the biblical perspective we see is so different. The concern is never from the outside. Mm-hmm. Jesus does not seem to be overly concerned about the attacks that the church is going to face in his name, because he says they're going to treat you the same way that they treated me. And we right. know how the world treated Jesus. And then the apostle Paul does not seem to be concerned. Peter, 1 Peter, I think it was, I can't think of a better book of the Bible to recommend to people for this, really in any other era, but it captures this dynamic so well that the concerns are, and we expect opposition from the world. Some will respond by faith in that message, and some will respond with harshness and with persecution even toward the gospel message. But you know what the New Testament is so concerned about, and the Old Testament, I would say, it is the orthodoxy, the belief, the right belief, the gospel fidelity inside the church. And mm-hmm. then also, if you extend that back to the Old Testament, the doing of justice and mercy, the moral behavior of the church. I think about the exile in the Old Testament, and there's an outside threat if we ever saw it there, the Babylonians, the Assyrians coming. But the fascinating thing is that they were God's agents of judgment toward his people because of their injustice and their unrighteousness. So I just think we have it fundamentally reversed, where we're so concerned about the outside when the Bible is almost exclusively concerned with what's inside the church. That's what I'm mainly worried about today.
Yeah, Colin, you did such a great job on keeping the main thing in that interview. And I would encourage our listeners to go watch that. So how encourage our listeners just right now to maintain that kind of consistency, keeping the main thing in today's world that is so confused?
Well, I think I want to issue some encouragement here to know that I talk to a lot of people who are very concerned about what's happening in the world today. They're very concerned about morality there. And I share those concerns. I hear what they're saying, but you know what's so interesting? When I talk to people about their own churches and I talk to people about their own families and their own communities, there's often many things positive that are happening. There's so much encouragement there. There's the Lord is at work in some really pronounced ways, but they're not the kind of ways that are ever going to get on national television. They're not going to be on the, you know, they're not going to be the kind of memes that are shared on Facebook or something like that. And so I encourage people to, if you find yourself getting very angry or hopeless or despairing about what's happening in the world, pull back and realize that a lot of that stuff you don't really affect. You can't really change. Pray about it for sure. I would say start there, but you know, pray for your enemies especially. But just turn to your immediate context and say, I can't change a lot of what's happening out there, but what I can do is I can love my neighbors as Jesus called me to. I can love my family. I can make a difference. I can serve in my church. I can make a difference in my community. I think if we all gave more attention to those things, we would be surprised by the big difference that it would make. And just to understand that a lot of the media that we see out there, and I speak here as a journalist who goes in these forums, we have to understand a lot of that is designed to make us angry. It's designed to make us feel anxious about the world. It's not a coincidence that that's happening. So maybe close that laptop, maybe turn off that cable news, and maybe invite a neighbor over. Maybe find another way to serve, you know, share the gospel openly with people. That's my encouragement.
That's awesome. Colin, we've got just about a minute left. I'm going to ask you about an event you have coming up, the MLK 50 conference. And if you look at the list of speakers, it's just a who's who. It's exciting because you are The Gospel Coalition is tackling in a very gracious way the issue of racism. And so you are making a difference, looking for ways to do it, and I applaud that. Talk about that conference coming up in Memphis.
Very excited about this. You know, this is an event that could not have happened and could not happen without the Lord's kindness and favor toward us. We're bringing together a lot of different people who don't normally sit around at the table and to talk about some really difficult stuff, race especially, in this particular climate. I'm going to be moderating a panel on the state of racial tension in America today. I'm also going to be leading a session on the history of the church and the civil rights movement, kind of the mixed record. And of course, a lot of wonderful speakers from Matt Chandler to Benjamin Watson to John Piper to on and on and on. Really an amazing list of speakers. So excited about it, but I invite everybody to pray because we want the Lord to work in Memphis.
Yeah, and in early April after that conference, I would love to have another conversation with you. Blessings to you today. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
You bet, Colin. It's 4 minutes until the top of the hour. We'll take a short break and then wrap up hour one. Thank you so much to Colin Hanson. What an interesting man he is. And I do encourage you to go and Google ABC Uncomfortable, Colin Hanson. It's about a 53-minute broadcast, I should say. And you will find him standing up for the truth and doing a great job of it. Also, thanks to Carmen. She always does a great job. Coming up in the next hour, we have Adam Holtz with us from Plugged In. We're going to talk a little bit about what the Oscars broadcast revealed in a couple of new movies. And also Tyler Burns from The Witness, the Black Christian Collective, is going to be with us also in the second hour. So we've got a great second hour. Happy Friday. Aren't you glad the weekend is here? Be back in a minute. Late show. Thanks for listening to the Early Morning Late Show podcast. These conversations are available because of your prayerful and financial support. Make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the Early Morning Late Show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and grow the impact of the Early Morning Late Show.